Hey, welcome to Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Thank you for stopping by. We're going to be hanging out for the next 30 minutes. Hope you can stick around the entire time. Today's theme is this. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. This is from today's gospel, that idea of John, the disciple, saying to Peter, "It is the Lord," when they suddenly recognized Jesus in the midst of their fishing trip. This is a great gospel today. We're going to look at it and take a look at how it pertains to each of us. All this week, we have been talking about people encountering the risen Jesus, recognizing the risen Jesus in the midst of their daily lives. And I think the challenge for us is to recognize him ourselves. Can we recognize the risen Jesus in the midst of what we are going through right now? And I'll be honest, it is not easy. It is not easy. So we have to work at it a little bit. Hopefully, I'll be able to help you out on the program today as we really look at this idea of recognizing the Lord, so that we can say, yes, I see the Lord. I see him working in the midst of what we are going through. Today is Friday. We're wrapping up the week. Just a further reminder, you know, I mentioned this on the show a few times. I also do a weekly podcast called The Gary Zimak Show. You can download that through the regular podcast outlets. You can find out all the info at followingthetruth.com if you need it. But it's a 30-minute show. It's similar to what we do here, and it focuses on the Sunday Mass readings. This Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday, so if you want to get a little insight into the readings and the message for Divine Mercy Sunday, make sure you listen to The Gary Zimak Show podcast, 30 minutes just like this, you know. You can have me over the weekend if for some reason you decide that you miss me and you want to have me over the weekend. But the show is available now. The show usually is available on Friday morning. So you can download it there and have a listen so you prepare for Divine Mercy Sunday. Right now, what I'd like to do is what I do at the beginning of every show, but I can't do it without you. I want to turn to our Father in Heaven now in prayer, but I don't want to do it myself. So I invite you to join me. I invite you to just pause for a minute. Remember that we are in the presence of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And join me in prayer. I'll lead the prayer, but I ask you to just follow along. Try to pray with me as we focus on asking him to call down his blessings on each of us and bless the time that we're about to spend together. So we begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father God, we come to you with grateful hearts today, grateful for the fact that you created us, the fact that you have kept us alive up until this moment in time, the fact that you are here for us, the fact that you listen to us when we speak, the fact that you care for us so much so that you sent your Son Jesus to live, to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead for us, so that we could once again be able to have the gift of eternal life in heaven with you. Father, thank you for providing for us. Thank you for leading us down the path we should go and not leaving us to our own, on our own, to try to figure out what we should be doing in life and what should be happening to us. You help us out tremendously, and we're grateful for that. Father, we pray for all of those affected by the coronavirus. We pray for relief for those who are sick, those who are suffering in any way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, from the virus, financially as well. We pray for an end, an immediate end to the virus. Let's be bold. Let's pray. We're going to pray bold, Father, and say, we're going to ask you with confidence for an immediate end to the coronavirus and a restoration of life as it was, where we can go out again and do our things, get back to church, socialize with family members and friends, but with the provision that we are changed. We don't want to come out of this the same way that we went into it. We want to be changed. We want to have more grateful hearts. We want to be able to be the image of your Son Jesus in the world. And we want to fully surrender to you in all things. So we ask for an end to the suffering, but at the same time, we want to be changed and be different. So please continue to work on us while we still are in this pandemic, restricted, confined to our homes in many cases. continue to work on us, to change us internally so that the Holy Spirit can work more fruitfully in us. Father, I ask you for your help for this program. Please speak through me. Give me the words. Give me the message for today. Help me know what points to make. Help me get out of your way. I don't want to get in your way here. And please open our hearts and our minds so that we may be receptive to the message that you have. Father, I ask these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is your Son, our Lord, and who lives and reigns in heaven with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, it always feels good when I get to do that. Right now, I'm going to take a sip of my beverage du jour. Oh, man. Today, I just have a glass of water. I hope you... You know, I got to get more creative. I used to be really creative with these beverages, but I don't know. I'm not as creative as I used to be, so I'll see what I can do about that. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying the show. I hope you're able to relax. Hope you're ready to start talking, to start listening as we discuss the good news. We'll break open the Bible in just a minute, but this is funny. I want to share... You know, I've been sharing these messages on Facebook. They come from my book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, their daily reflections. This is the message for today, which is Friday, April the 17th. And this is a message that is so appropriate, but yet so annoying. You know how it is sometimes when you hear these messages from Scripture and you just think, oh, yeah, I know, but man, is that annoying. Well, this is one of them. It's so true. And it really hits home with me. And I have a feeling you're going to be able to appreciate it as well. It's Psalm 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You know, one of the most frustrating things about God is that he operates on his own schedule, and he's got plenty of time, right? So 1,000 years to him is no big deal. We get so frustrated. And you know, this is part of the learning process. Our frustration because he's not moving fast enough. You know, doesn't that kill you sometimes? But if we're truly surrendering to him, which is what we're called to do, we're called to surrender our lives to him. And many of us will even use that terminology and say, yes, I've surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and I follow him. We go along fine until he asks us to wait. And then we start to go ballistic, don't we? Because we just don't like to wait. We know what we want. I am personally ready for this coronavirus thing to be over yesterday, but it's not. It's frustrating me. The Lord has the power to fix it. He has the power to take it away. But this is where faith comes in. Are we willing to trust that he knows what's best? And that's really what he's asking each of us today. If it's not this virus thing, it's going to be something else. I don't want to wait. I'm praying about this. What gives, Lord? What's the deal? And what you hear coming back from him, and what I hear coming back at times like this, is trust me. And the question for each of us today is, do we trust him enough to wait when he tells us to wait? That's a process, but I think it's one that we should work on. Because honestly, it's the only way you're ever going to find peace if you accept the fact that God doesn't jump at your every request. And sometimes he is fully willing to say yes. Every time he asks you to wait doesn't mean he's going to come back with a no. It means simply that. Wait. The time isn't right. And we may never fully understand why the time isn't right. But that's one of if we're really going to say that we're surrendered to him and that we're his follower, we have to accept that. So I would encourage you to use this time right now. And again, you may have other problems that in your life are more important than the current pandemic. I mean, this is a global problem. It's a huge problem affecting millions and millions of people. But there are many individuals who have problems with income-related issues, with relationship problems, with things that they are waiting on. They're praying about, they're waiting, they're not hearing anything. That to them, these issues are even more important than the current coronavirus crisis. But whatever the problem is, you're being given a chance. If you are waiting on the Lord and you're praying about something, maybe you're praying about someone to return to the faith, maybe you're praying about a job, maybe you're waiting, you had a job interview, you're waiting, maybe you're waiting to sell your home, maybe you're waiting for medical results, maybe you're waiting to see if you're going to get the coronavirus or not. Whatever the case is, are you willing to say, a couple days away from Divine Mercy Sunday, those words that appear at the bottom of the Divine Mercy image, the image given to Saint Faustina by Jesus himself, those words, Jesus, I trust in you. Are you ready? Are you able? Are you willing to say those words? Jesus, I trust in you. I trust in your timing. I trust in you, the fact that you're making me wait. I trust that there is a reason. And you know what, Lord? I'm not going to complain. I'm going to trust. Are you willing to do that? Just give it a try and pray for the grace to be able to do that, because take it from a guy who has many times gotten fed up with the Lord's timing. That's the way you're going to find peace. That's surrender to his schedule. Lord, you're the boss. I call you Lord, not in name only, but because you are my Lord. You are my master. I am your slave. You own me, Lord. You just tell me, Lord. You tell me when you want this to happen, and I'll go along with it. I would encourage you to do that today. So whatever it is that you're waiting on, say, Lord, I trust you. Jesus, I trust in you. And keep praying. Don't give up. Because you got to watch out. The devil's going to be in your ear saying, you're not going to get this. You're wasting your time. All this effort is going to amount to nothing. That's a lie. Keep praying. The Lord wants us to keep praying. He wants us to keep trusting in his timing. All right, so that's the first message. Again, and that is so appropriate today, because many of us are hitting the wall with this pandemic and this seclusion. You just hit, if you had one of those days yet where you just got fed up and you said, this is it. I've been at this for 5 weeks. I am just tired. Have you been there? I know I have. And then I plow through it. I settle down. I pray a little bit. I just ask the Lord, I tell him my frustrations, and then I relax a little bit, focus on the present moment, and then before too long, I'm starting to feel a little better. The trouble is when we look too far ahead. It's good to look ahead with hope. It's good to look ahead and realize that, well, one day when this is over, when this crisis passes, if and when the Lord restores things back to normal, it's good to look forward and say, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to go out together as a family and eat at a nice restaurant or have a good vacation or something. It's good to focus on that because you have something to look forward to, but don't allow yourself to linger there too much, because then you're going to get frustrated. So for each of us, that's different. For each of us, that's different. It's a balancing act. And I recommend that you just look forward to the day when, yes, your life will get back to normal. But don't linger there. Reel back in and focus on the present moment and the fact that God is with you. And look for all the blessings that you have currently. My wife and I had to do this earlier today. We recognize the fact that we have a warm bed to sleep in. We have heat. We have electricity. We have clothes to wear. We have cars. We have food in the house. We're not sick at the moment. You know, all of these gifts, that we have the gift of one another, all of these gifts that we often overlook because we're projecting too far to the future and looking at what we don't have. All these gifts can be ignored, and we don't want to do that, because the Lord has, he is providing for us. We're getting the manna in the desert right now. We're in the desert. We're headed to the promised land. We're given the manna. Maybe it's not what we want, but you see what happened when the Israelites grumbled. It didn't turn out too well for them. We want to be careful, because it's really not fair to God when we do that, because he is providing. And again, we don't know what we need. Let's just trust him. Let's thank him for this opportunity to trust him, and also to offer up our suffering. We can offer up our suffering, unite it with the suffering of Jesus, and it can have an infinite impact on the salvation of souls. So we can be helping him with his mission. It's a really good thing. All right, let's take a look at this gospel. This is John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, last chapter of John's Gospel. And as has been the case all week, the Gospels from Daily Mass have been revealing accounts of encounters with the risen Jesus, many of which the people completely misunderstand. They don't recognize Jesus. And I think that is just so appropriate for us because we do the same thing. We fail to recognize Jesus in our midst, acting in our midst. He's working through the people around us. He's working even in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. We don't recognize him. And I think it's critical that we do, because when we do, we're going to be able to experience his peace and joy no matter what's going on around us. One thing that I know for sure, I don't know what's going on in your life right now. Every one of our circumstances, while similar because we're all undergoing the same difficulties, our differences, we do have differences. Our life circumstances are different. And I do know one thing for sure. The Lord is in your midst right now. He's with you. Jesus Christ is with you, as is the Father and the Spirit, because they can't be separated. So don't feel all alone, even if physically you are all alone at the moment. You're not. And that's one thing we can all take joy in, the fact that the Lord is with us. So this is John chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now this is the risen Jesus. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, who were James and John, right? And two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." Now, this is after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. He has risen from the dead. The disciples are lost, his apostles, I should say. They're called the disciples here, but we're talking about the apostles. This is the inner circle. What do? They don't know what to do. They don't know what they are supposed to do with their lives. So what do? They go back to the only thing they knew. Prior to following Jesus, they went back to fishing. But here's the beautiful thing about Jesus. No matter where we go, no matter where we wander, no matter where we, when we, or how we depart from the road that the Lord wants us to follow, he's going to search us. He's going to seek us out. We are that one lost sheep, and he will find us just as he found them. And that's exactly what happened. They're going back to fishing, but see, the Lord had other plans for them. He wanted them to be his messengers. These are the leaders of the early church who would spread his message, the message of Jesus Christ, to far land, to all different lands, as far as they could travel. And he found them. So they went out and they got into the boat, thinking that, you know, they don't know what they're doing now. They think that they're supposed to be fishing. They go back to what they knew. But that night they caught nothing. Isn't it funny how oftentimes that's how the Lord really gets to us? He allows us to fail. He allows us to hit rock bottom. I know that's the case with me. Before I really started paying attention to him, before I was willing to really follow him and listen to him. So if you're at rock bottom right now, if you're feeling about as low as you can get, if your whole world seems to have fallen apart, excuse me, got a tickle. The Lord often allows that to happen because he really wants to get your attention. So I know this is hard to imagine, but often when we are like that, when we are at rock bottom, when we feel like we're failing everywhere, that is the opportunity for the Lord. The Lord's giving us an opportunity to really turn to him. So keep that in mind. So these guys are out to catching nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Once again, the risen Jesus, he's there, and he is not recognized. So we see a further example of people not recognizing the risen Lord. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, cast the net over the right side of the boat and you will find something. Isn't that something? Jesus, he's not a fisherman. He's telling them what to do. And they listen to him. That's pretty amazing. They listen to him. Are we as willing to listen to Jesus as they were? I mean, a lot of times we're not. So what happened? So they cast it, and they were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. Now, at this point, there is no indication that they know who it is, which is amazing. They still are unable to recognize Jesus. But again, many of us are in that same position. But they listened to him. They listened, and they cast the net over. They were not over to pull the net. They were not able to pull the net in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. He was able to recognize him. John was able to recognize Jesus. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you just caught. So Simon Peter, which I love too, Jesus is telling them, bring some of the fish you just caught. He's the one who made it possible. But see, he's giving them the credit, just as he does with us. He allows us to think that we are accomplishing something, but in reality, without him, we could do nothing. And I think it's important for us to remember just how much Jesus does in our lives. If you're successful in business, if you're doing something for whatever, you're very creative, you're doing a lot of crafts, or you're a great singer, you're a great speaker, you're a great writer, whatever it may be, you have been given those gifts from God. And we never want to get to the point where we forget that. But Jesus, in his humility, is saying to them, bring some of the fish you just caught, even though he's the one who made it possible for them to catch those fish. So Simon Peter went over and dragged a net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come, have breakfast. And I think that's the invitation for each of us today. Jesus wants to meet us in those little moments, such as breakfast. You know, do you ever just sit with the Lord and have a cup of coffee and have your breakfast and talk to him while you're having breakfast? Give that a try. My spiritual director many years ago taught me about that. And it is very, very effective just to sit there with your coffee, just sip on your coffee or whatever you have for breakfast, and just spend a little time with the Lord. Maybe read your daily mass readings, open your Bible, read a spiritual book, a devotional, or something, and spend that time with the Lord. That ordinary time. Come have breakfast. None of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over, took the bread, gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. My challenge to you as we get ready to wrap this show up today and to get ready to wrap up this week of programs, my challenge to you is, are you able to recognize Jesus? Because he is there in the little things of life. While you're eating breakfast, while you're out taking a walk, while you're driving in the car, while you're working in the garden, while you're having lunch, while you're watching TV, even, are you able to recognize Jesus and be able to have a conversation with him? I know it might seem weird at first, but I'll tell you, it really is something that has helped me to be able to recognize him and to just start talking to him. Or journaling. I used to journal in the morning. That was another thing I would do, and I'd write him a letter. It helped him to become real to me. He is real. He's with you wherever you are, but sometimes you need that external help of some kind. So whatever it is that you have to do, have breakfast with him tomorrow. Sit out on the deck with a cup of coffee or your orange juice or whatever, and just spend a little time. Say, Jesus, thank you for giving me this coffee. Thank you for this food. Thank you for the beautiful green grass all around me, or whatever it is, depending on your circumstances. And just have that conversation. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a new day. And then tell him your concerns. Tell him your fears. I'm really scared today, Lord. I need your strength. I can't do this. Just like the fishermen, the apostles here, they didn't catch anything. But once Jesus got involved, the net was about to break and they had so many fish. He's real. And I just want you to understand the joy and the peace that comes from understanding and believing that he is real and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I invite you to do that. If you have any questions, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'd be happy to discuss this with you because this is something that I have gone through. And I've been there where I would say, like, I don't know Jesus. I know about him, but I can't really grasp this whole idea of a friendship or a relationship with him. The way it happened in my life was this. First of all, the desire was there. I wanted it really bad, and I let him know that. And also, little by little, I started having a conversation with him every day. Again, it feels weird at first, but it becomes a lot easier. So try that, and I think it's going to bear fruit in your life. All right, I am ready to get on out of here for the week. I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to be with you Monday through Friday right here on Following the Truth. The plan is I intend to be back here on Monday. I hope you will as well. Let your friends know about Following the Truth. Let them know about my website, followingthetruth.com. Stay tuned for more information about my new book, Let Go of Anger and Stress, which is going to be coming out in October. Let me know again if you need anything, gary@followingthetruth.com. While we're at it, I can tell you I need something. If you're able to make a donation to my ministry, I'd be so grateful. Followingthetruth.com, click on donate. You can make a secure donation or become a monthly sponsor so that I can continue to keep doing these programs and keep sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. If you could do that, it would really help me out. In the meantime, let's continue to pray for one another, and I hope you enjoy your weekend. Remember, the Lord is with you. Even if you can't be physically present at church, know that you can always encounter him spiritually. Make sure you do that. Go have breakfast with him tomorrow. Sound good? All right. God bless you. Thank you again for listening. And again, enjoy your weekend. I look forward to catching up with you again next week on Following the Truth. See you later.